Sometimes people are looking for the strangest things. Maybe even your dentures. I was at the hospital the other day, and that's exactly what the person I was visiting was looking for. They had been lost, but then they were found. There was a keynote speaker who was in such a hurry to get to the venue that when he arrived and sat down at the head table, he suddenly realized just about before he was to speak that he had forgotten his dentures. Turning to the man next to him, he whispered, "I forgot my teeth." The man said, "No problem." With that, the man beside him reached into his briefcase and pulled out a pair of dentures. "Try these," he said. The speaker tried them. "Too loose." The man dug around in his briefcase again. "Here, try these ones." The speaker tried them and responded, "Too tight." Gave him back. The man didn't seem taken aback at all. He dug around in his briefcase again. "Here, I have this pair. Give them a try." The speaker smiled. "They fit perfectly." He ate his meal and gave his speech without any further troubles. After the event concluded, the speaker went over to thank his benefactor and return the spare parts. "I want to thank you so much for coming to my rescue. Where is your office? I've been looking for a good dentist. I just moved here." "Oh, I'm not a dentist," the man replied. "I'm the local funeral director." That's so bad. Always be careful where you might find those dentures. For the past few weeks, we have been reflecting on the big questions that Jesus asked his students. What do you want? Do you want to be well? Why are you afraid? Do you love me? Who do you say that I am? And now today, we are exploring the first question that Jesus asks those who are choosing to follow him according to the first chapter in the Gospel of John. What are you looking for? Like all of Jesus' questions, it's a thought-provoking good one because it makes us search our hearts for the answer. And like all of Jesus' questions, we come to realize, while it has perhaps many answers, only we ourselves can answer that question for ourselves. And it makes us dig deep. When we begin to dissect this passage in John's Gospel, we realize the first thing, few things. First of all, that the Gospel writer of John, who's writing this account of Jesus, which was written about 70 years after Jesus' death, suggests something unique to the other gospel writers. And that is that two of Jesus' students, according to John, left John the Baptist's teachings to follow Jesus. Scholars have suggested from this passage and from this gospel that Jesus himself must have been a student of John the Baptist, who then baptized Jesus into the new movement. And then according to John's gospel, John himself identifies two of his students, Andrew and another unidentified student, who some scholars have suggested is perhaps the gospel writer of John himself, who often inserts himself into the gospel, or perhaps the unidentified follower of Jesus is to serve as a representative of ourselves, students to come. But apparently John the Baptist believes that Jesus is worth following, that he is the sacrificial Lamb of God, the long-awaited for Messiah, the anointed new king of Israel. And so Andrew and the other unidentified disciple of John the Baptist get excited about the possibility and wonders. And so they leave the teachings of John the Baptist and they wonder if they should be listening to what Jesus, who has been their peer and classmate and fellow student, might be teaching compared to their teacher, John the Baptist. And so Jesus, surprised that they begin to follow him around and listen to his teachings, turns to them and says, "What are you looking for?" What are your expectations of me? It's kind of like Monty Python's The Life of Brian. Ever see that? The Life of Brian? People all of a sudden identify the life Brian as the Messiah, and they begin to follow him around, and he's like, "What are you following me for?" It's kind of like that. What are you looking for? And you'll notice that neither Andrew nor the other fellow, maybe it's a woman, they don't answer the question, but instead they ask Jesus a question, "Where are you staying?" They might just move in, I don't know. And Jesus says, "Come and see." And so they go, and they check out where Jesus is staying, and they spend the day with them, we are told. And they must sense some wisdom in Jesus, because then Andrew goes home to his brother Simon and tells him that he thinks he may have met the Messiah. So Peter then comes out of curiosity to meet this Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and nicknames him Peter, which means the rock. And then it goes from there. And apparently Jesus and this unnamed disciple and Andrew and Peter go to Bethsaida, because that's where Andrew and his brother Simon Peter are both from. And Jesus sees a man there by the name of Philip, lover of horses, and invites Philip to join their little home group. Then Philip goes to his friend Nathanael and invites him to come and meet this Jesus, who he thinks just might be the anointed one of God, who comes from the town of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, and he's from the tribe of Joseph, the son of Joseph, and Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of the town of Nazareth?" Obviously, people from Bethsaida have a thing with people from Nazareth. Maybe a little competition going on between the two cities, perhaps. Someone who knew someone from there and didn't like them, perhaps. Maybe they have a better hockey team. I don't know. And Philip tells Nathanael, "Come and see." When Nathanael meets Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Now here's a fellow Jew who always tells the truth." And Nathanael asked Jesus, "Yeah? How do you know me? We just met." Jesus tells Nathanael, "Oh, I noticed you under the fig tree the other day when Philip was talking to you." And Nathanael is moved by the fact that Jesus has noticed him and declares that there is something special about Jesus. Jesus tells him, "You believe because I saw you? Because I noticed you? Because I kind of knew you? You are going to see more mystical things than this. That like Jacob saw heaven in a dream with angels ascending and descending, so that Jacob knew God was in that place. Nathanael, you too, like Jacob, will glimpse a little heaven on the earth and know more of the mystery that is God also. You came to know me, but I tell you, you're going to know about God. You're going to experience God." And that is how, according to the Gospel of John, this little community around Jesus begins to form. Some follow Jesus because their teacher, John the Baptist, identified him as the Messiah. Some followed him because their friends saw something special in him and came to see for themselves. Some, like Simon and Philip and Nathanael, chose to follow him as their teacher, their rabbi, because he saw something in them. He knew them. Jesus seems to want each of these people to decide for themselves if his teachings are worth following. There is no coercion, no rules of belonging. He simply says to them, "Come and see, for yourselves what I'm about. And if you can sense God with me, then follow in the ways I shall teach you. So what is it that you are looking for? From our story, according to John, this little gathering, this new community, each of them came together with Jesus because Jesus and his followers recognized something in one another. They came to recognize and value the gifts and personalities and soul essence of each other. And together they were looking for something more. Communities of faith, it seems, come together, created out of a recognition and appreciation for each other, and a shared searching for something more. So what is it that they were looking for? It would seem from this passage that they were looking for a number of things. Perhaps they were looking for a spiritual teacher to attain a higher wisdom and a knowledge and an understanding. They were wanting answers for deep life questions about the purpose and meaning of their existence. They were looking to Jesus as their teacher to answer that question, and his answer is, come and see for yourselves. Higher knowledge and wisdom and understanding cannot be taught by a teacher. It must be learned from the experiences of life itself. It is life itself which becomes our greatest teacher. From our life experiences, we learn what is important and what is not. From life, we learn either to be bitter and resentful or forgiving and gracious. From life, we learn either to be cruel and rejecting or kind and compassionate. Life becomes the great teacher of our souls, and our wisdom is gleaned by lessons learned or not learned. I think Jesus reminds his followers that no one can teach us something. No one can be our Messiah. We need to glean wisdom and understanding for ourselves. Because when they ask him, "Where are you staying?" he says, "Come and see." Because the truth is, Jesus doesn't stay anywhere. The Spirit of God is always on the move. It cannot be captured. It is dynamic, not static, ever growing and expanding. "What are you looking for?" Jesus asks. Perhaps they were looking for spiritual growth. Maybe that is what they were looking for. "What are you looking for?" asks Jesus. Perhaps they were looking to be recognized and valued and seen. When Jesus nicknames Simon the Rock and recognizes that Nathanael is a man of integrity and a truth speaker, both men, Peter and Nathanael, are obviously touched and moved by being seen and known and understood by him. It is important as followers of Jesus that we come to learn and value and understand one another, that we come to know each other better, that we recognize one another's strengths as well as challenge one another in our weaknesses. In their time with Jesus, there were times when Jesus not only recognized their strengths, but challenged their weaknesses, like the time he said to Peter, "Get behind me." Jesus could challenge Peter to be more, and he did challenge him. It is wonderful to be seen by each other, to be challenged by one another, and it is hard to have our motivations questioned. And yet, to be real and authentic, we need enormous grace with one another and offer one another that opportunity for space to become more tomorrow than we are today. It is in a community of faith that we can ultimately learn about ourselves as we learn about each other. It would seem that they were looking to be part of something bigger than themselves, to be part of a community. perhaps belonging to an authentic community where they could be real and recognized and valued and challenged, is what they were looking for. "What are you looking for?" asked Jesus. Perhaps they were hoping that John the Baptist was right, that Jesus really was the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, their new king who would liberate them from Roman oppression, just as Moses had led the Hebrew people out of Egyptian oppression. They hoped that maybe Jesus really was the liberator sent by God to free them. You and I all long for liberation, for the freedom to be who we really are. I just read a recent article about government taxation, and that since 1961, our taxes have been increased so much so that the average household income of $88,000 is now paying out more money on taxes, income tax, property tax, sales tax, carbon tax, provincial tax, federal tax, etc., that on the basicness, then we are spending more on taxes than on the basic necessities of life, such as food, clothing, and shelter. A greater percentage of our income goes on taxes than on food, clothing, and shelter. It's gone up like this since 1961. That is not to say that our taxes don't go toward important infrastructure like schools and healthcare and roads and other services, but that we have far less disposable income in 2020 than we had in 1961. And so, in fact, we have less money than we did 60 years ago to spend on food, clothing, and shelter. No wonder every week we have people coming to Knox to access the minister's discretionary fund because they've been to SOS, they've been to the food bank, and they are still hungry. Jesus' followers were looking for a leader and community to challenge the oppressions of their day. So looking for liberation, for justice, that is what they were looking for. Together, coming into a community to search for that. What are you looking for? And then finally, when the disciples come, Jesus says to Nathanael, "You think it's a big deal that I know you and recognize you? I tell you, you are going to see. Before this time, this journey is finished, you are going to see the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending like Jacob saw God in the wilderness. You too are going to sense the presence of the Holy. You are going to experience the presence of God." And isn't that what we long for? Those moments, those liminal, numinous moments where we experience the presence of God. Whether we're at the bedside of someone who is passing away and we sense that the angels have come to take them home, that the whole room is filled with the light and love of God. Or those times in birth when we welcome and receive that new child into our lives and we are overcome with the mystery and the wonder of our lives and this miracle that is before us. Or those times when we're walking along the beach and we witness this incredible sunset and the gulls and the eagles flying high and soaring and our souls fly with them. When we sense the mystery and the wonder of God, perhaps that is what we are looking for. And ultimately, whatever we are looking for, whether we are looking for spiritual growth or for an authentic community or to be seen and recognized and valued and accepted, or whether we are looking for justice and a way together of making a better life for all people, not just ourselves, or whether we are looking to experience the wonder and mystery of our Creator and sense that God is with us, that we are not alone. Whatever we are looking for, Jesus says, come and see. Perhaps you'll find it. This searching may last a lifetime, and it may come to you through a lifetime of turmoil and change. But on the path of the Jesus way, we find spiritual growth and understanding and meaning. We may find friendship and a place to use our gifts and an accepting, authentic community. We may find a shared search for justice and equality and liberation, and we may experience moments of deep mystery and peace and know that the Sacred Spirit is among us and within us. So, we are on a search, and we just might find. Because as my teacher, my chaplain, when I was becoming a student chaplain, said to me, Jennifer, if you come to know yourself, if you go on a search for God, if you go on a search for who Jesus was all about, you just might find yourself. For as Jesus said, I am in God, and God is in me, and we are in one another. For Socrates said, know yourself. Freud said, be yourself. And Jesus said, give yourself. What are you looking for? Let us search. Let us come and see, and let us find. As followers of the way, may we have the courage and the curiosity to follow and to find what we are searching for. May it be so. Amen.